Hello, everyone. It's me, Shay, with the Vic Orange Questions. And tonight I have a special guest named Christina Taylor. And tonight we're going to be talking about grieving. Hello, are you there, Christina? If you are, go ahead and introduce yourself so we can go ahead and start.
Christina. Do you want me to just talk about, like, how I...
You can tell us about yourself. Where are you from? Where are you from? Where do you live? What do you do for a living? What do you like to do? What are your some goals you have? What's going... Like, you can tell us some... Share a little bit about yourself.
All right. I live in Lakeland, Florida, and I work for Firehouse Subs right now, and my goal is to help others as much as I can and lead them to Jesus. And yeah, that's about it.
Okay. So what is it like living in Florida? I've been there a couple of times. I have a friend out there who lives in Florida with her husband and children. So what do you like? Have you ever lived anywhere else besides Florida?
Yeah, I lived in New York and Ohio for a little bit. I got to see the snow and it was nice up there.
Okay, awesome. New York was a little bit too fast for me, girl. I would not make it out there living every day.
Well, I lived in the southern side of New York. It wasn't really the city side, so wasn't too bad. It was more of the country area there where I lived.
Okay, so right now we were just talking about, we just prayed for it. It was your grandfather who passed away. So tonight, I guess we can talk about grief and talk about how to deal with grief. So what are some things about grief that you feel that are the hardest to get over? What is about grief that's the hardest to get over?
I guess not knowing where the person ends up, or losing someone you love. I feel like it's really difficult in that aspect, not knowing where they go and losing them.
Oh, so you're saying like the death in the afterlife?
Yeah.
If they end up in heaven or end up in hell, if they're saved or if they did... If they're saved or if they repented or, if they're saved or anything. You're talking about, like, their salvation. What happens if when you die and you're not saved?
Right. Or if you don't know if they were saved before they died. Like, because he actually lives in New York and I live down here. So I really don't know if my grandfather was saved when he passed away. So.
Oh yeah. So basically what happens after a person dies is that it depends on like a single choice that like we make during our life. You know, we can make a choice right up to the end just before we take our last breath. But once we die, we can't undo the decisions, and reincarnation doesn't occur as far as our Christianity. And so we don't come back and get to do it over again. We don't get a second chance. If we choose to believe that Jesus Christ is our son are is the Son of God, and that he died on the cross to save us from the consequences of our sins, we will receive eternal life and go to heaven to be with him forever in fellowship and joy and truth. And because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and if we believe in him, we raise up too. I understand where you're going with this. When someone dies, you know, you could be talking to someone another day, and then right before your eyes, they died. And I had a friend who actually died, and I think I was sharing with this with you before we even got on here. You know, I didn't know what her relationship was with God, but I know this, it opened up my eyes to say that no matter where I'm at, no matter who it is, I need to be, as a believer, need to be preaching the gospel, mentioning God, bringing up the Lord in every conversation that I have to make them have a spark inside of them. And I have, and a believer can really seriously go into a stable, go into a mindset of a grief that I would call basically regretting that they didn't say anything to that person about the gospel, or regretting that they didn't mention the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, or even God, or talk to them as much as they did. I feel like even though we don't know if they were saved or not, even though we don't know what the decision was of them going to heaven or hell, we can use that as an eye-opener to say, you know what? I might not have been preaching to them or ministering to them on an everyday basis, but at least I know now I'm convicted of wondering as a believer, man, I was concerned about their souls. I didn't know when they were going to leave this earth. But now, from now on, I'm really going to be witnessing the gospel to whoever I see and whoever I hear about going through hard times or sick or anything. I'm going to make sure that they know the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, because the Bible says it. In John 3:16, and let's go farther to John 6:16-18. Let's take it a little farther. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stand condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God, one and only Son. But if we're true, but if we need to, we have to let the people know that even after the fact that we both encounter people who have left this earth and us not knowing where they stand with God, we have to know that. We have to move on and let that be a reason why we should go as believers, as men and women of God, and just go out here to say that. But if you choose not to believe, you go to hell. You are condemned to loneliness, separation, and never any regret and fire in hell. Heaven or hell, life or death, Jesus or destruction. You know, we have to say these things to the people that we love the most daily, unto them. If they're close, if they're in our space, they should be in a space of heaven, ready to receive. They should be in a space that is going to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, I feel like we could be, as carriers of the gospel, we can beat ourselves up because we're like, man, because that's conviction. You know, that's the love of the gospel pumping through our veins, you know. And so at times, just because we missed that opportunity, like I said, it's in times in my life that I missed the opportunity to share the gospel with someone. And then there's been times in my life where I had the opportunity to share and talk about God before a person left the earth. And one of those people was actually my grandmother. I was actually able to go and pray over my grandmother, pray with my grandmother, you know, before the month, and she received Jesus as her Lord and Savior, again, rededicated her life to Christ before she had passed away. And so there was, like I said, with my friend, I wasn't able to do that with her, but with my grandmother, I was. And so After I did not do that with my friend, after I did that with my friend, I'm trying to remember if she died before my grandmother did. And I believe she died after my grandmother, actually. But just being in that predicament and experiencing it, I knew then that, you know, I would never walk a day of that my life sharing my testimony with someone or just sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone ever again, especially when they got close to me.
Right, yeah.
Ever again. Do you have any scriptures that you... What's your favorite part? What are some moments that you've had where you just really just say, I love living for Christ. I love sharing the word of God. I love nourishing myself in the word of God. What are some moments that you would like to share today that really would inspire someone to continue to live for Christ as a new person in Christ?
Well, about a year ago, I actually rededicated my life to Jesus, and I was a lesbian, and Proverbs 3:5 came to mind, and I actually went on to read Proverbs 3:5 and 6, because I feel like they both connect. Proverbs 3 is completely amazing. But it says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And I feel like that's really helped me with my growth with Jesus. And after my grandfather passed away, I was looking up scriptures that would help with someone that's mourning. And one that really stood out to me was Matthew 5:4. And it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And that one really helped me get through the mourning.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, I know sometimes, like, we can have grief like in like people dying, but do you feel like there are other types of griefs, that are in our lives, like a person could experience that maybe the world don't focus on or talk about, because or do you think that it's just a grief for when someone die? Are there any other types of forms of griefs?
Not that I can think of. Not that I can think of at the top of my head right now.
Because I asked that because there's actually types of griefs. And there's actually stages of grief. And then, like, there's, like, this point to where you have to respond to it. And then you have to, like, manage it, you know? And so when it came to, like, a lot of times there's, like I said, there's actually three types of griefs. And one of the griefs is, like, it's like a time when a person or a family is expecting a death. And it's like normal to begin to anticipate how one will react or cope when the person actually dies. It's like you're prepared for when they're gonna die. And then there's like a grief that's like sudden. It's like an unexpected loss. You can temporarily overwhelm or immobilizing one. It's like that unexpected type of grief. And then there's like a complicated grief when the duration of grief is basically prolonged and interferes with a person's ability to like like function and grief, it can become a way of life. You see, it's like the grief that I experienced with my friend was a sudden loss, okay? And the grief that I experienced with my grandmother, it was like a anticipation because I knew that she was going to eventually pass away. But I didn't know that it was going to be as drastic measures as it was, as her body, you know, failing and things like that. Like, I knew when I seen her on the bed and I seen her, you know, looking a different way, and like she was fading away, her health was fading, diminishing. I knew then that, you know, she's really about to leave. And so, like, when it comes to like the stages of grief, basically, it's been like when you're denial, you know, you're in that point to where when a person is about to die, like you're in denial that they're dying, and then you feel like a whole bunch of anger, and then it's like this point to where you come and it's like, okay, I'm bargaining now, you know, make this not happen, and in return I'll do this, you know, when you promise God anything, if only God would let them live, you get what I'm saying? And then it's like you experience the stage where it's depression, when you're too sad to do anything, and deep sadness is like, it's like it's a part of the loss, you know, a part of the loss that like won't go away. And then there's finally that terms when the last stage of it is when you're accepting death as part of life, and your loved one is gone and will never come back, but you will go on living and making a new life for yourself. And so when I think of the stages of grief, it's amazing how God can take us from being in denial into acceptance. And even during that process of going from in denial to acceptance, there are some choices that you have to make within yourself during the process. And so when we're responding to our grief, sometimes grief is immediately overwhelming. You know, other times the depth of sadness and the pain is not realizing until several weeks or months or after a loss, when the person is gone and loss becomes really real to you. And life does not get back to normal. You know, grief can affect every aspect of your life. I'm talking about physical, mental, emotionally. It can affect your spirituality as well. You know, you feel like, oh, I don't really kind of want to be bothered by the church right now. I don't want to be bothered by the believers right now. I kind of just want to be to myself. But is it a healthy be to yourself? You know, that's what I mean about the stages of grief. Is it a healthy be to yourself? Or is it that the point to where it's a negative state to yourself? And see, every survivor is vulnerable, because some struggle with strong emotions during the time, and many experience guilt and both for these things they did and things they didn't do. Some are angry at God, and many people can feel disorganized sometimes, and they can even forget for a moment that a death happened, you see. And one thing that I responded to grief is that the intensity of it is all-consuming responsibilities to grief, to the grief eventually that will, you know, go away. And because we have to manage the grief, you know, we have to accept that we are grieving. A person has to accept that they are grieving to be open to their feelings, for one. Because if you don't do that, you're not going to realize, like, okay, it's okay to cry. It's okay to be angry about your loss. You know, we have to take care of ourselves. We still have to manage our, you know, take care of ourselves, eat well, exercise well, get enough sleep, go back to doing what we enjoy to do. We have to allow ourselves to reach out to friends and go to the movies, take a walk, just do a visit. But we can't do that right now because it's COVID-19, but you see what I'm saying. But, you know, you plan ahead, you expect, you know, your holidays, look forward to having them in your mind, visualizing them as if they were already there. What was special during those holidays? What was special during those birthdays? What was special during those anniversaries? And what would be different? You know, we don't let anyone tell us how we should feel. Don't let anyone tell you how you should feel, including yourself, because the journey and you are handling a situation, and you're handling it by God, you're handling it with God, and in the confidence of all that you are in Christ unto it, and you have to redirect your focus by being busy or by helping others, postpone making like major decisions. Like, that's something that helps manage grief. Like, sometimes it could be such a overload on what's going on, you know, at that moment of time, that people don't just postpone making the big things that they plan for, because maybe you don't need to take it too fast, you know. Maybe you need to go into a slow motion, change your moderation. And so those are just some things that in my mind I'm thinking about, like, to help people manage your griefs and things like that. And I'm feeling like tonight I need to allow you to give your testimony on this podcast. So do you mind giving your testimony?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I can give my testimony. That's fine. Well, I went to a Toby Mac concert last year. And I was with a girl when I went to that Toby Mac concert, and just being at that concert and worshiping God, I felt like being in a relationship with a girl was wrong, and it definitely convicted my heart that night, and it made me think a lot about what I was doing. So I got on my knees and I repented to God, and I asked him for forgiveness for what I was doing, and I ended up breaking up with my girlfriend and accepting Jesus back into my heart. And then that's when I started reading the Bible again and getting back into the Word, and Proverbs 3:5 was the first verse that actually came to my mind. And then I went to, I don't know if you've ever heard of Rodney Howard Brown, but I went to his church in August, and there was a guest speaker there, a woman, and I actually went up there when they did the altar call. And for the first time, that's when I felt the joy of the Holy Spirit come upon me. And it was just an amazing feeling. Like, I couldn't stop laughing. I was laying on the ground laughing a lot. And I just felt so much peace from that.
They made it.
And, yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty... I feel like it's been a little difficult sharing the gospel with some people, because some don't want to accept it. But I feel like I definitely need to start doing it more, because I feel like it's definitely something I'm called to do.
To evangelize. Oh my goodness, that's awesome. That is so good. That is so great. That is so good. And okay, when did you decide to give your life to Christ? What month, what year did you do this? You said 2 years ago?
No, this was last year.
Last year, yeah, last year. So what have been some challenges for you coming from, like, repent of, you know, dating women? What have been some challenges for you?
Well, I grew up shy my whole life, so I feel like that's been one of my challenges, is just, like, being open with people and talking to them about it, and not knowing what they're going to think or what they're not going to think. And I mean, I know we're not supposed to worry about that, because Jesus tells us in the Bible multiple times not to worry. And I just feel like that's been one of the difficulties that's been for me for that.
Wow. Do you have any children or?
No, I don't.
Okay. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 28.
Oh, wow. You young, girl. You are young. So what, so were both of y'all Christians or were y'all just
non-believers? Both of us were Christians, and she had a different belief when it came to me not wanting to be with her anymore and giving my life back to Christ. She believed that being gay was okay, and I just had a different, I just felt really convicted about it, and I didn't want to be like that anymore, so.
Oh, okay, wow. Wow. So when you, when, how long were y'all in a relationship?
I would say for about a year or a year and a half at least.
Oh, wow. Was that your first time being in a relationship with another woman, or was y'all, did you date women before this girlfriend, or was this just a girlfriend that you liked the most?
Yeah, I dated women since I was 18, so I was going down the wrong path. So,
what caused you to desire to be with other, another woman?
I thought it was better than being with a man, but then I realized all the relationships that I was in, it wasn't. So, I mean, I thought what I was doing, I thought I was born a lesbian, and I thought that's who I was going to be for the rest of my life. I never really thought that it was based off of what the world was telling me was okay, and not what God was telling me was okay. I was going off based on what the world was telling me was all right. And then I finally just opened my eyes and said, this isn't what God wants for me at all. So.
Wow. So okay, you were saying that you feel like you're called to share people, the gospel with people, and you feel like when the fact that you're called to share the gospel with people, do you have a heart for people, for the LGBT community, to minister to the LGBT community?
Yeah, I definitely feel like since I've been there and I've dealt with the situations that they're going through, then I feel like I could definitely relate and connect to them.
Wow. So when you, before you started to have relationships when you were 18, what was your spiritual bring up? Were you Christian? Were you into any other religions? What was your spiritual makeup? What was your spirituality like?
Yeah, I was raised as a Christian, and my parents would go to church, and I would go to church, and all those things, you know. I guess it doesn't really change what you're religiously brought up into. I feel like it really just came down to like a choice, and I didn't realize I was making that as a choice. I thought it was just something that I was born into, like I said. And then when I realized that it wasn't, and I was doing it as a choice and not as something I was born into, then that's when I finally realized, whoa. This is a choice, and I don't know why I decided to go down that path and make that choice. So then I repented of it, and I was just like, I don't want to go back to that. So.
Awesome. It sounds like, you know, it sounds like you're very sincere in your repentance and that you take God seriously like never before than what you were before you were delivered. So what does a deliverance process look like for, what is that experience like for someone who is coming from choosing to date the same sex into choosing to become sound in Christ? What does that, can you share with me how, what was your deliverance process like?
It was a lot of praying. I definitely did a lot of praying. And I also did a Daniel fast as well in August last year. I did that for 21 days. And I did a lot of prayer and fasting. And I feel like that really helped me get closer to God and connected to Him. So.
Amen. Amen. So what kind of friends have you left behind? What kind of bad habits, other than the fact that you're not dating the same sex anymore, what kind of habits have you gotten rid of, in the process of getting rid of, or look forward to getting rid of? Now that you have been delivered from this lifestyle, what is it like in a new lifestyle? What kind of habits are you gaining? Good habits you're gaining. What kind of habits are you abandoning? And just what kind of habits are you hoping to, you know, pick up, let go, all of that?
Well, one of the habits I've definitely been working on is sharing my testimony more with other people. And being able to tell my story. I've definitely been trying to work on that. And also, I feel like I'm really called to the youth as well. Being involved in a youth group. I haven't found one yet, but I'm praying that I hope find one soon. And because I feel like the youth right now, that's one thing that they struggle with, is not knowing what they're doing. And that's where it starts, is in high school. And if they can connect and relate to someone.
I thought I had a shot.
Hey, man.
Going.
when you say connected to the youth, and when you are connected to the, as far as connecting to the youth, what are some ways that you, if someone gave you the opportunity to work with the youth, what are some ideas that you would have to empower them? What are some ideas or some, I guess, type of events would you host for them? What would you do with the youth? If someone was to say, hey, Christina, I would like for you to come work with the youth, what would your ideas be to work with them, to reach them?
Well, I feel like I'd want to connect to them on a personal level and just talk to them and get to know them and pray with them. And just reach out to them as much as I can and tell them about my testimony and experiences. And then hopefully they'd be able to open up to me and tell me about their life experiences and what difficulties they're going through and questions or anything like that. I mean, I'd want to be as open as possible with them so that they would feel comfortable with sharing whatever they're going through.
Awesome. Because I feel like the youth now, we see the LGBT community is more broadened, and it's like the parents are more acceptive of it, the families are more acceptive of it, and there is a lot going on as far as they're all like, you know, I was born this way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. See, I thought the same thing growing up too. I thought I was born this way, and I thought everything was okay. And then it just opened my eyes. I don't know if it was the music that did it or someone was praying for me that night, but I finally realized that I was going down the wrong path and I needed to stop. I mean, I was doing drugs. I was gay and I was this stuff, trying to fill that void in my heart when all the is Jesus, and he was the void that was in my heart. And as soon as he came into my heart, it was a complete peaceful and totally different feeling that I've ever felt in my life. Like, I would never want to go back to that, because there's just so much peace and comfort in this relationship with him.
Wow. So was there ever any conviction leading up to that moment? Was there ever any conviction leading up to that moment when you were just like, you know what, I want, when you gave your life to Christ in that setting, before that setting, what was your life like? Was it just you were being convicted by it every day? Or was it that you were just like, you know what, I'm going to church tonight, I'm going to seek in for something deeper? Or was you just like your normalities? Was it normal? Was you just like, yeah, I'm still going to, you know, was it like you still showing affection to your lover and you just going, you getting ready to go to church and you're just like, oh, okay, this is just an average day. So what were your moments like leading up to that moment that you had that moment with Christ that just told you that, look, Christina, I want you to break out of being a lesbian. I don't want you to be gay anymore. So what was that like?
Honestly, it felt like a roller coaster to me. It was like a lot of ups and downs. And I actually went through a few years in my early 20s where I wanted to commit suicide, and I didn't want to be here anymore, and I just wanted to kill myself, and I didn't know what was going on, and I was just like, that was a rough area in my life that I went through. And then after that, I felt like everything was okay over the years. I felt like everything was going good. And then I went to that Toby Mac concert, and it just seemed like something was convicting me again after I went to that concert, and then my whole life just started to turn around.
Wow. Talk about Toby Mac. What are your favorite, is that one of your favorite artists, Toby Mac?
Yes, he's one of my favorite artists too.
Wow. Had he been some, you have been liked him for some years, or was it just?
Yeah. I did, yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. When the last time you've been to the concert, and what are some other songs that you started to listen to more of after this deliverance experience?
I went to his concert last year when he had it in Tampa, and it was really good. There was a lot of artists there. It wasn't just Toby Mac. There was, I can't think of his name. He sings that song, Jordan Felice. He was a good one. And there was a bunch of artists there. I can't even think of all of them, but they were all really good. And I listen to a lot of worship music now. I really like Overcomer by Mendisa. I feel like I can really connect to that song. And I've definitely been listening to a lot of Christian music since I've been in the deliverance process, and it's definitely helped a lot more than listening to anything else. Because when I was living in the sinful lifestyle, I was listening to all types of music. And then last year, after I went to that Toby Mac concert, I just started listening to Christian music, and that's really been helping with my growth as well.
Yes, amen, amen. When it comes to where do you see yourself in 5 years from now with your ministry? What are some goals that you have for your ministry in 5 years from now? Where do you see yourself?
Well, I see myself as a full-time youth pastor and just helping reach whoever I can within the LGB community, maybe doing some mission trips. I mean, I have a lot of goals set in mind.
Amazing. I love it. I love it. I love it. So when it comes to right now, in your life right now, as far as COVID-19, you know, is going on and things like that, what are some things that you would, if there's like, maybe there could have been, like you said, you were experiencing suicide, doing the drugs and everything like that. If there is a young individual who is dealing with homosexuality, lesbianism, being gay, what are some things that you would like to say to them right now while they are battling? If there is someone who's battling, you know, in the closet, and then someone who is to that person, you say you want to have an impact on you, like to that person who's battling in the closet, who's scared to just, you know, basically let someone know what they're dealing with and what they're battling with as far as their sexual identity, what would you say to them right now?
I would just say that God's never left you. He's always been with you, and he's always going to be there for you, and he loves you so much that he would do anything for you. He doesn't want you to give up your life, because he cares about you and he loves you a lot. And he just wants to help you through whatever you're going through.
That's amazing. And so many people have, not just with just homosexuality or lesbianism, a lot of people are just not bold enough. A lot of Christians are just not bold enough to accept the fact that they need to be delivered from certain things in certain ways in their life. And you know, it's sad that, you know, I feel like we need to provide healthier times, healthier settings to leave that door open to the future conversations that can also deepen relationships or reinforce that some can discuss, and children can discuss sexuality and gender in general. The best thing you can do is ask your child or loved one, what is it like for them? And we're all different, and talking openly gives us an opportunity to understand what they're feeling without labeling or assuming how they choose to express themselves. Now, yes, it's wrong. It's wrong that children, you know, I mean, it's wrong that, you know, yeah, it's wrong that if a person is dating the same sex, it's wrong. That's not right. And so many times they focus on just that. It's not right. It's not right. But like I said, people aren't taking the time out to talk to these young individuals and about what they're feeling without them being labeled, and a lot of assuming how they choose to express themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying, Christina? Can you?
Yeah, I do. I understand what you're saying.
Imagination, what I'm saying.
Yeah, I feel like it comes down to trusting the person that you're talking to, and it also comes down to humility as well. You have to be able to show the humility that, and the process that you went through when it came to that. And if you're willing to show them and be vulnerable to that humility, then hopefully they would consider opening up to you and telling you how they feel.
Right. So what was it like for your parents? I want to ask this question to you. What was it like for your parents to know that, if your parents, like, they worried about, were your parents ever just worried about being a grandparent? Were they worried about, you know, is their child, if you were at risk for any type of diseases, or should they talk to you about sexual health? Was they worried about discrimination towards you, or, you know, wishing that you could have told them about your sexuality earlier? What was it like with your parents, the relationship between you and your parents when you were a lesbian, practicing lesbianism, versus now when you're set free by the power of Christ?
They still loved me the same, whether I was a lesbian or not. But I felt like I had a more difficult relationship with my dad because he didn't want to accept it and he didn't think it was the right thing for me to do. So I definitely feel like it's definitely brought me and my dad a lot closer in our relationship now that I'm set free from it. But yeah, it was definitely a different experience. I think I was a lot closer to my dad when I wasn't a lesbian, and then I became a lesbian, and now I'm set free, so now I'm closer to my dad. So it was definitely a difference with my dad, but with my mom, she just loved me and accepted me the whole entire time. So,
amen. When it comes to gender, did you believe, a lot of times, like, I think, believe around the youth who are, you know, in the LGBT community, how do you feel about were you ever at a point to where you were trying to become a man, or just like a man, become transgender?
No, I wasn't. No. Definitely not. I mean, I had that tomboy phase growing up, but I was never, no, I never tried to act like a guy in any of the relationships that I was in, no.
Okay. What's your foundation? What's your routine? What does a routine for, what is your routine, your personal routine? What does your routine with Christ look like, that relationship time look like?
Well, I wake up, I pray, I do my devotionals. Every meal I pray, and then I pray before I go to bed, and I read a few scriptures before I go to bed. I mean, I feel like it's still a work in progress, but I'm definitely understanding the scripture a lot more than I was way back when I was younger.
Amazing. Well said and well did. I believe that your testimony from actually experiencing grief right now, and then going into your talking about grief, and then going into your testimony tonight, I believe it gave a lot of hope, and it gave a lot of answered a lot of questions for people who are, you know, battling with LGBT and who want to be set free in Christ. You know,
the more love you show towards others, the better the situation will get. I feel like that really helps. love really does help. And when you're judging them and telling them they're going to go to hell, it doesn't work, because I've been through that situation. But the more you love the person that's going through it, honestly, the better it is. It really does help.
Yes. So how do you believe that a Christian should respond to gay friends or family members?
I would just pray for them and just love them. Just love them the same as you love anyone else. I mean, that's what God tells us numerous times in the Bible. We gotta love our enemies also. And even though they're not our enemies, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. But they're in that situation where they're lost.
Right. Yoke to like, yes, into like a identity. It's like more so like yoke, because you know, sin is sin. Right, and yeah. Sometimes with the the LGBT community, it's an emphasis on lifestyle. And I feel like it's for you to come out in a world that with the church is saying that it's sin like every other sin. Yeah, it's sin like every other sin. But so many people are losing the wavelength to celebrating people who are being delivered from the LGBT community. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're hyping it up and saying sin is sin. And it's, you know, it is whatever, because it's just like any other sin. But don't take away the fact that we're not going to celebrate people who are liberated through the power of Christ in their lives, because God has delivered them from the state of sin of being a lesbian or gay or gay person. And sometimes I feel like, just like people celebrate that, they should celebrate people who are delivered from fornicating. Just like they celebrate someone delivered from fornicating, you should celebrate people who are getting delivered from bad habits and you know, and not being able to break off of drugs. You know, I feel like we need to be celebrating more as the body of Christ, how as God is delivering people from all walks of life. I mean, it's like, could you imagine, do you get the same that I get, like, that it's not being celebrated more, the things that God is setting people free from?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I feel like there are some churches that I've been to where it's more of them just judging one another, and it's not really our place to judge one another. It's more our place to just love one another. And then if it ever comes down to that, where they want us to tell them what the truth is in the Bible, then I feel like ministering to them and telling them what it says in Scripture is okay. But just automatically coming off as judgment from what I've learned is not the right way to go through the process.
Oh, okay. Definitely. I agree with that. Yes, I agree with that. Christians can definitely own this issue by caring enough to get to know the whole person. You know, if we think that identifying as LGBT is mainly about sex, that's very shallow, in my opinion. And the theology of whom we have sex with might be black and white, but the person and related experiences are not, you know. And so I remember one time a lady was telling me that once her mom told her that she and her partner hadn't been intimate in years, you know, she was saying that she had asked why she still called herself a lesbian. And she said that she told her that she had a community feel. She had a community feel with friends, acceptance, a cause, and deep feelings. And it reminded her that people have, you know, they have depth. They're in depth, you know, and care enough about a person not to reduce them by their sexual orientation. And if someone who is LGBT says that it's not mainly about sex, why immediately throw the homosexual verse at them their way? You know, talk about holy living down the road. Perhaps Christians can, you know, they can own the issue by being kind and making a new friend, like, you know, what you were just saying. And, you know, because the more Christians stop treating people in the LGBT community as evangelistic projects, or those people, or, you know, I just can't, like, they have a disease on them, or they, you know what I'm saying, like, they're, like, you know, you'll get sick if you just, you know, tap them on their shoulder, the more meaningful relationships will develop, and they can become open-heartedly to what the Christian who is carrying the Bible, ready to actually utilize the Bible, instead of thumping them. You know, we have to stop want to dump people with the Bible so much, and we want to be able to invite the people. You know what I'm saying? We want to be able to host the Holy Spirit, you know, instead of taking the Word of God. We want to be able to host the Word of God in their presence, not thump the Word of God in their presence.
I've seen so many posts like that where they show a Christian going over with, and then the person's wearing an LGBT flag, and they're thumping them with a Bible, and they're bleeding to death. And I'm just like, I don't want them to feel like I'm like that just because I'm not a lesbian anymore. At first I felt like I was doing it the wrong way, and God definitely convicted me for that, because he switched me around really quick and said I needed to be more loving, because this is not the way you're gonna win souls and help me out. So definitely winning souls for Christ, you definitely have to be loving and being accepting towards others, and not being judgmental towards them. And if they don't want to listen to the loving and acceptance, then there are scriptures that say that you should just turn the cheek and walk away. I mean,
amen.
Sometimes some of them are willing to allow the loving and acceptance, but then sometimes some aren't. So,
but amen.
That definitely helped me through my deliverance process, is just realizing that I need to love more and not bash them, because I went through the same situation, and I don't want anybody to go through that situation. So.
That's amazing. That is amazing, because when it's all said and done, focus on how you're going to love yourself, cultivate yourself in the Word, spend that time with God, and focus on how much you're going to put in the time to be able to be that disciple or follower of Jesus Christ. So go out and make more disciples. You have the background, Christina, to go out to make the disciples, because you've been that woman. You've been in that shoes. You understand the people. You know, you have the power to empower them, because you have that loving spirit. And the more you grow in God, the more I see you evolving as a woman who is crying out to God, you know, for the youth, crying out to God about the women who have been in your situation, and can actually be a mirror of your past. You know what I'm saying? As a reflection, and you're the reflection of their future. And so, to the LGBT person, you know, you be careful taking hardline stances on something that isn't, you know, I'm messing everything up. The main identity shouldn't be defined by sexual orientation. Rather, God should define it when you are just getting to know a person. So many times we're so quick to look at someone's sin, we can't see them past the sin. And I had to work on myself, Christina, because I was one of those people when I was younger, a younger woman in God, before the age of 25, between 20 and 25 years old, I had a zeal for God. And it came a lot about the doctrine of how I was introduced to Christ. And dealing with that, the zeal that I had, you know, I had to learn when I got older and got off the meat, I mean, got off the milk, I had to learn that I have to look at them, because I have to look at them like I'm looking at a regular person, because just because one person, if you put two people in front of me, and you have a boy who is basically, you know, he has it going on. He dresses like a man. He talks like a man all day. And I have no idea what he really is, his sexuality is. And then you have a flamboyant man in front of me who is dressed like a woman, who's a transgender and things like that. What is it about? It's something about that Christian who has a zeal all the way messed up. You know, and like I said, I've been guilty. I'm guilty of being that Christian, that Christian at one point in my life, not like that anymore. But what point, it had to be a breaking point about the zeal that made me have to say, like, okay, if I found out this guy that was looking like a man, that he basically, oh, you know, I found out he was gay. You know what I'm saying? What's the difference between him, me preaching the gospel to him, than me preaching the gospel to the one that's flamboyant and proud about what about him being a transgender, or, you know, dressing like a woman, drag queen, and things like that? Like, they're one the same. You know what I'm saying? We have to stop as Christians. We have to stop as Christians saying that I'm going to preach the gospel to this person because they look like this. And I'm gonna preach the gospel to this other person because they look like this. Just because it's visible to the eye doesn't change the fact that you are supposed to win that person over by loving and kindness. Because at the end of the day, I'm not winning souls for myself. I'm winning souls for my Savior, Jesus Christ. And the gospel is not complicated at all.
Right. No, it's not. No, it's not complicated at all.
We make the gospel complicated because yeah, when you, I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was just agreeing with you. Yeah, we do make the gospel pretty complicated, but that's when God corrects us and shows us the right way to do it.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I say, you know, today, you know, if these people are loved by our loved ones being loving towards you, why would you shut them? Why would you shut them out? You know, and most of the times when we're preaching, you know, when you're preaching to people and things like that, we want to go up to the people that we feel like, oh, they look like this, you know, they look like they'll be receptive of the gospel. Well, what about the people that are just homeless on the street? We kind of, and it's sad, we're in a new century, I mean, a new decade. And you still have Christians out here who won't share the gospel to certain people because, oh, they look like they're strung out on drugs. Oh, they look like, you know, they drug kids. They ain't gonna want to hear what I have to say about them, because sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead me to go to a person and just, you know, when I am minister to a person, if I am talking to a person who look like they're strung out on drugs, they'll tell me their story. Or you will be able to read between the lines of where they come from, their background. And as you start to make those mental notes, you go home and you pray for them, or when you get back to the car, or even praying for them right there, you start to have an urge of the Spirit of God will come over you and will show you, you know what I'm saying? You need to pray for that person. You need to have them in your mind visually and speak over their lives and prophesy over their names, you know? And it's the thing, that's the thing that people, as Christians, we fail to understand. Don't treat others who disagree with you the way you wouldn't like to be treated. You know, they might be intolerant in your mind for not agreeing with you. However, you know, are they treating you poorly? Do they love you less? Do they not value you anymore? Don't become intolerant by not giving them, you know, the margin to have a different view, you know, because like I said, many examine scripture, you know, they believe that sexual intimacy is for a man and a woman in a marriage and aren't homophobic or hateful. You know, when they, after they examine the scripture, they feel like being homophobic is not hateful. Things like that, or using the term homophobic, you know, may not be hateful to that or offended to the other person, because we hear that a lot, you know, homophobic, this person is homophobic, that person, you know, I was called that a lot because I didn't believe in same sex. I was called homophobic, and it was just so, oh, this person is because the definition of homophobic is having or showing a dislike or a prejudice against homosexual people. And
I wasn't
homophobic. I just didn't believe that it was okay because the Bible says that it wasn't okay, and I believed in the Bible. And so I believe, even myself, and even to be honest with you, I believe they've changed the definition of homophobic, you know what I'm saying, to fit the genre or the atmosphere of what's happening with that word and everything else like that. So it's like, you know, some people just want you to meet them where they're at. They don't want to just, you gotta learn how to communicate love language of God to people, because my love language to God, it may not be the same love language as Christina, or yours may not be the same love language as Shantae, but at the end of the day, nobody should be feel threatened by the gospel. No one should feel hate when you preach the gospel. So I thank you for coming on tonight. It was such a joy to have you tonight. Because it was a very powerful moment for you, and I just really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. I love your testimony. I love how you got delivered. Like it was, like you said, it was a roller coaster for you, and then it's just like God knew where to put you at the right time and at the right moment in the right season, that you was going to plant that seed. That seed was going to be planted into you. And now you're watering, that seed is being watered into you. And it's so profound how God moves and how he works. And so I just want to thank you again for coming on to the show. To the podcast tonight. So do you have anything else you want to say? Would you like to say before we end the conversation?
No, not that I can think of. I mean, I think I pretty much said everything that I needed to say.
Just okay, keep, well, this is...
Keep going love.
Yes, yes, always. Amen. So, this is Shay with the Big Orange Questions. I'm so happy Christina was able to come on tonight to share her story. About her testimony, give her testimony about how the Lord delivered her from lesbianism, from being a lesbian, and also about our discussion about grief in light of her losing her grandfather. And so I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Have a blessed night. It's me, Shay, with her Big Orange Questions, and I'm signing off now. May God bless you all. Night night.